We'd like to take a moment to thank you for listening to the Block Church podcast. We pray that these messages encourage you, inspire you, or make a difference in your life. Welcome to the Block Church Online. We're so glad to have you all with us today. My name is Grace. I'm the location pastor for our Port Richmond location. So special shout out if you call Port Richmond home. But we're so glad to have all of you watching. If you're not connected to our church yet, we really hope you take that step. Our online location has been so great to launch the last few weeks. And we are in a series right now called Ask Me a Question. This series will go for a few more weeks. So if you haven't yet submitted a question, email us today, askmeaquestion@theblockchurch.org, and you have submitted a question that today we're going to address. But it's such a big question that we're actually going to break it up into 2 weeks. So today I will be preaching part one, and then next week Pastor Joey will preach part two. This big question that you've submitted and asked is, why do bad things happen to good people? And like most people my age, where I went with this big question was to Google. I Googled, why do bad things happen to good people? And you know what I found? You can get a mug that says, why do bad things happen to good people? ... because it's funnier. That's pretty rude, but also humorous. You can also get a t-shirt that says, I am one of those bad things that happen to good people. How bold is it to be wearing that shirt around? But on a more serious note, I saw that somebody shared they were dipping their Oreo into milk, and it broke in half and sunk to the bottom. And they said, now I'm sitting here wondering, why do bad things happen to good people? So we're making some jokes and having some humor, but I know that this is a big question for so many of you. This is a question that keeps some people from believing that there is a benevolent higher power. This is a question that keeps some of you who do believe in God from actually trusting him, because you don't know how to reconcile why do bad things happen to good people. And so today I'm going to give you two thoughts, two responses that will help you as you process this question. I'm not going to answer it all, you know, in this sermon in 20 minutes here, but I want to help equip you as you wrestle, as you think, as you ponder, as you go deeper into what is the underlying factors to this question. It's never just about the surface level. I could give you one scripture, I could give you one thought, but it will not satisfy the craving that happens from asking a question like this: why do bad things happen to good people? The last few years, I've been personally going through a journey and a process thinking about what my own disruption, my own misery about things that are bad in my own life, and why aren't there more good things happening? But this is where we get stuck, most of us. We categorize good and bad in these very generic and broad definitions. So we define good as something desired or approved of. And most of us will tag on to that by me personally, something that I desire or that I personally approve of. We define bad as something that's undesired or unwelcomed by me, right? And so then we get all of our framework from these things. So the last few years, with the help of my pastors, my block group, who I get to meet with and share very vulnerably with the help of a professional counselor, with the help of safe friends, I've been addressing that internal misery over unanswered prayers, God saying no or wait, over loss, over tragedy, over failure, over struggle, over singleness. I categorize these things as bad in my life. What I find is that what I often do is, when I'm thinking about these bad things, these unwanted, these undesired things, I start listing off to God and to other people the things that make me good, make me a good person, so that I can advocate for myself to have good things. So I start listing off, like, look at all the dollars that I've given to help homeless people or those in need. Look at all the times I didn't punch that person at Walmart who cut me in line after I've been waiting 45 minutes because there's only 2 checkout stations open. Look at how I serve at church. Look at how I come to church consistently. Look at how I always click accept when my coordinator sends me a planning center invite, right? We can start listing off all of these good things that we feel like make us a good person, advocating, trying to defend that that's what makes us good, so then we deserve good. And so today I'm going to present these two thoughts, these two responses, and you'll have an opportunity to talk through this in a block group this week. Every group will be discussing this sermon online, and it's really fantastic to sit in the Zoom chat with other people from different backgrounds, from different perspectives, from different longevity in their walk with Christ, and see how everybody interprets and receives the information that's being presented, that dialogue, that connection, that community that's happening in these sermon discussion block groups is so valuable. And so ultimately, what my goal today is to give you some nuggets to think about so that you will go to a block group and you will discuss this with other people in community. But our first response to why do bad things happen to good people is to change your definition of good and bad. We generally approach life with those general terms. Is this wanted or is this undesired? But sometimes the good that we desire is bad because it's our desire opposed to God's overall purpose. And sometimes bad feelings result in good outcomes. And so if we get limited into good and bad in the simple framework that we laid out, we will miss bigger components to life, bigger picture, bigger perspective, a greater life that's not just about me and what am I feeling impacted with right now, but what's happening around me, what's happening beyond me. And so your block group leaders are actually going to be equipped this week to help you do word studies, to go to scripture and see the times when good is used, the time when the word bad is used, to get a biblical understanding of good and bad, not just limited to, do I want this to happen or do I not want this to happen? I'm going to give you a scripture that shows us a bigger picture. It doesn't use good and bad, but it really hits on the principle that as we're asking this question, why do bad things happen to good people? I feel like this scripture addresses the overall principle. So we're going to go to 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. And Peter writes to the church and he's saying, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day that Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So what Peter is saying here is that you will have many trials in your life. And the good that comes from it is that at the end, overall, when Jesus is revealed, then there will be some credit given to you. Then there will be some honor towards you and your life and how you've stewarded these trials. So he's saying there is a good that comes from this overall endurance that goes beyond just, am I happy right now? Is this comfortable? Am I enjoying what's happening right now? Peter addresses that we should rejoice in the anticipation of the end results, not just what's happening momentarily here. There's a character in the Old Testament, back in Genesis, first book of the Bible, and his story is one that fits into this category of why do bad things happen to good people? He was a young man, and his name was Joseph, and as a young man, his brothers sold him into slavery. And he became a slave in Egypt. He spent the next 20 plus years of his life separated from his family. And you see highs and lows as you follow Joseph's story in Genesis. You see him get some favor. He's in Pharaoh's home and he's working there. But then Pharaoh's wife accuses him, falsely accuses him, and he's imprisoned. He's left in prison for many years. And then when he's finally released, he has the responsibility of helping this entire nation navigate 7 years of famine. And so when you look at Joseph's story, you can see a lot of good and bad coming, you know, up and down in his life. But overall, you see his character and his integrity and that he keeps trying to honor God and live upright and righteously. And so this is how Joseph, towards the end of his life, after he's been reconciled with his brothers, this is how he personally addresses them. And if you've been around church, you've probably heard this, but it is fantastic to think about him who's been that good person in the midst of bad situations. Here's what he says, Genesis 50, verse 20. You intended, you being his brothers, intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people. So we see Joseph with this bigger, greater perspective for his own life, saying the good that's come from all of this hardship, from all of these bad things, is that many lives are saved. So you, my brothers, intended this for bad, but God worked this out for his greater purpose and for good so that many lives could be saved. So what I would submit to us today is to change our definition of good and bad. I would submit to you to change your definition of good to be God getting glory for my life, God getting praise for what's happening on the earth and in my life, God's name being exalted, being raised, God getting more attention and affection. And then a new definition for bad would be any time or any situation where I'm getting glory for my life. Bad because that will only last for so long. People are too fickle. There's too many variables in life. Things change. And so I would submit that it's actually bad, a bad circumstance, a bad situation, when the focus becomes all about you, about your feelings, about your wants, or even I would submit about your happiness. That is something that's truly bad when you're getting glory for yourself. But I think what we see through scripture and through the lens is the definition of things being good when God gets glory, when God gets praise. Many of you know my story. I've just had my mom pass a couple months ago, and I shared this a little bit, but I wanted to dive into it a bit more here today because we knew that my mom was going to pass right around my birthday. And if you've known me, you know that my birthday is one of my favorite holidays the whole year. And every year that I walk with Jesus, I'm being more sanctified. And, you know, Christmas and Easter are becoming greater, right? But I love my birthday. And so as soon as I knew this is going to be tainted for the rest of my life, I was talking with my counselor. We were FaceTiming. And I was saying, man, I'm already anticipating every birthday for the rest of my life, having this mark of the greatest sorrow, the greatest tragedy of my life to this point on it. And she gave me really good wisdom and said, you can't anticipate how every birthday is going to feel for the rest of your life. And so I was trying to apply that. But on a Wednesday night, I knew that my mom would pass within the next few days. And Friday was my birthday. And so I knew it's either going to be Thursday or Friday or Saturday. And for me, this is just honesty. This was a huge wrestling that I had with the Lord. And I'm having this conversation with God at 11 p.m. on Wednesday night and saying, this is the worst case scenario for me, Lord. And I believe that you're in control of time and space. I believe that you decide when my mom's final day will be. You are the giver of life, and you decide, you know, when death comes. And so I trust you with the timing. But God, I need to plead my case to you. I need you to know this is worst case scenario for me. This is the worst timing. Any other time of the year could be better. I was advocating for him, you know, look at everything I've done with the church, and I wanted this timing to happen in March. March would be so much better than February, Lord, and I've submitted to you, and I'm still here, and I want to be what's happening in Philadelphia. And I got to a point almost at midnight where through the wrestling and through my advocating for all the reasons why I'm good and why God shouldn't allow this bad timing, I got to a point where I said, but God, if you get more glory from my mom passing on my birthday, I will submit to that and I will not throw a tantrum. And was able to make my peace there enough to go to sleep. And my mom ended up passing on Thursday. But even through that wrestling, I was so grateful to get to that point. And I had a conversation with our staff when I got back to Philly. Through that incredibly painful, bad situation, I got to this place with the Lord that I don't know that I've ever actually been saying, whatever brings you the most glory, God, I will do. If you get more glory for this bad thing happening, I will embrace it and I will say yes, because I recognize the point of my life is not to be happy. The point of my life is to bring you glory. And so I submit, change definition of good and bad. The second response to why do bad things happen to good people is to stop thinking you immediately know what's best. Now, some of you are incredibly smart. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You know the scriptures. There are times when you do know what's best, but it's so important for us to pause, especially when there are bad things or unwelcome or undesired or, you know, things happening that we wouldn't wish. Pause and don't immediately assume that you know what's best. Take a step back. all of Western culture has been shaped by this, you know, secular worldview. We can't help but be shaped by it, right? Even if we've been in church our whole life and we're Christians and we say we have a Christian worldview, the fact is every movie that we watch, every, you know, song that we sing that's not worship straight to God, it's impacting us with this message. And that message is that this is a materialistic world and you are in control of your own happiness. I even, going back to Google, my favorite place when I have a question, I was searching, you know, what's the goal of life? And 8 out of 10 answers said happiness. It was somehow incorporated in the answer. And so this is the message that we are constantly receiving. This is a gospel that's preached to us, is that our happiness is the ultimate goal, that having comfortable life, having wealth, you know, us being in control of outcomes, that is what life is all about. And so that is a secular worldview that counteracts the Christian worldview, which we just hit on in the last point, that the goal, the purpose of our life is to bring God glory. And so then what happens is when we come in contact with bad things or with suffering, what that secular worldview tells us and preaches to us is that pain is not a meaningful part of life, that pain needs to be eliminated as quickly as possible, that pain is only an interruption. The secular worldview will also tell us that you need to manage and lessen the pain as quickly as possible and look for the cause of the pain and eliminate it. There's not an understanding or a belief or an acceptance that pain or quote unquote bad things can actually be used for good and can be shaping our character into who we are supposed to be, shaping our character to be more like Jesus. That's the Christian worldview. And so we have to be aware, take a step back and say, what is shaping my response? What is shaping right now what I think of as best, what I think of as what should be happening in my life? When I was 12 years old, my best friend, he and I were friends all through elementary school, and then we went to middle school together, seventh grade. He ended up passing away in a sledding accident. So as a 12-year-old, my best friend died, and I started grappling with these big questions. I started grappling with, is God actually good? Why would this bad thing happen? And I remember having a conversation with the Lord one night as on the floor in my bedroom, and like, God, there were so many other seventh grade boys who were bad, who like should not be here. Why did you take Derek? Why is he gone? And I started grappling with, I think, God, you made a wrong choice. I think you didn't have all of the factors in play. You didn't know how this would impact his family and me and all these things. And so I started coming to God with this approach of, I know better than you. You didn't make a great choice. And so this wrestling led me to deep places in scripture. I was so grateful for parents who helped me wrestle with that. They didn't just try to solve it. They didn't just say, hey, shove this down, Grace. We understand that this is painful that Derek passed, but you just need to accept God's will and just move on with your life. My parents taught me how to go to scripture. They taught me how to wrestle. They taught me how to take big questions and find different answers from God's character and from this whole book, not just looking at one certain thing, but there were three scriptures that came out of that time of wrestling that I'd love to share with you today. And I'm not trying to oversimplify. I'm not trying to get you to just accept that there's this answer and move on. I think the beauty is in the wrestling. The beauty is in the journey. And so I wanna just give you some nuggets that helped me. The first one is Matthew 5:45. Jesus is teaching here on people loving their enemies. And he says, for he being the Father, gives sunlight to both evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. And so what Jesus is saying here, what he's teaching his disciples and his followers, is that God sits in this higher seat of actual control and sovereignty. He decides where the sunlight hits, where the rain hits, and with his knowledge, his full knowledge and awareness, the sunshine hits on good and bad people, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. And so I was able to sit back and say, okay, in my limited experience as a teenager, as a middle schooler, there's no way that I can even fully judge or decide who all is just and unjust, and when the rain comes and when the sunshine comes. And I was able to see God is aware that we are here on level playing ground and it rains on the just and the unjust alike. The next scripture that really helped me was Mark 10:18. This is again Jesus talking. He said, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good." It's a really simple scripture, but that scripture comes back to me often and reminds me, only God is truly good. And so I can come with all of my lists and accolades and good deeds and try to convince my community, myself, and God that I am this good person. But Jesus was saying to this man who was asking him a question, only God is truly good. So even if you see me as a good teacher, you're addressing me as a good teacher, I want to make clear that only God is truly good. Only that creator, that sustainer of life is truly good. So as much as we try to measure up, as much as we try to be equal with God, Jesus says very plainly, very simply here, only God is truly good. And then in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, I'm sure that you've heard this scripture a lot. I think it articulates some of our wonderings better than most things. And at the end of the day, we have faith and we choose where we put that faith. And this scripture, I think, helps us put our faith in the proper place. Isaiah writes, from God, this is God speaking, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." We understand that we have a limited perspective from our generation, from the years that we've lived, our experience, our life, our ethnicity, our background, where we've lived. And it limits our perspective, but God has this vantage point. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's been seeing humans through trials and successes, through blessings and curses for many generations. And so his vantage point and what he is orchestrating, when you see Genesis to Revelation and the plan that is so worked out in detail and with great care, that his ways are higher than ours ever will be. So every time I think I know best, every time I think I know what should or should not happen in life, I think about these three scriptures that remind me that only God is good, that he decides for it, the sun and the rain to come on the just and the unjust, and that his ways are higher than our ways. And what I'm most grateful for is to the example of doing life in community and in church. You know, I think about some people in our church who have experienced and are experiencing incredibly painful situations and how much I've learned from watching their life, their character, and their faithfulness to God through it. I think about Miss Norma, who's a greeter in Port Richmond. And after her daughter died at a young age and tragically, Miss Norma still came to Port Richmond and greeted people and kept serving through that time. And I was so impacted by watching her life. I remember asking her, "You know, this is a time when you can take a break if you need to, Miss Norma. You're grieving a lot of things." And she said, "I need my brothers and sisters in the church now more than ever. I'm going to keep coming." And what I respected about her so much is she didn't just placate what was happening in her life. She didn't just come up with a smile slapped on her face saying, "Praise God, he's good all the time." She would greet people and would cry with them and would weep with them and would grieve with them, but still came to serve, recognizing God could get some glory from my life. And I don't know what's best, and I trust God's decision in this. I trust God's sovereignty in this. He could have intervened, and he didn't. And I'm still going to trust that he knows what's best. I think about some of you who have tested positive for COVID-19 right now. I think about how some of you are still serving. You know, we've got Sukatha who has the virus, but she's serving in our live chats. She's giving. She's giving God glory in her life. And she's not saying, "Oh, everything's perfect in my life." She's asking for prayers. She's connecting with people. But she's still able to serve and give and be part of this bigger picture and bigger story. She's able to bring God glory through her situation in her life. I think about some of you who have been furloughed and you're still coming to our needs bank and you're serving and you are blessing our community and you are demonstrating generosity when you could get really self-consumed and self-focused and be fixated on why bad things are happening in your life when you feel like you're good. You're deciding to give God glory, to build his church and his kingdom no matter what. I'm so glad that you are with us here at church. These two thoughts I just want to leave with you, and I hope that you will internalize them, you will think, you will pray, you will go to scripture, you will wrestle, and that you will go to block group this week and have conversations about why bad things happen to good people, but being willing to change your definition of good and bad, and being willing to recognize that maybe you don't immediately know best. If you're with us and you don't have relationship with God, I don't want to end this time without giving you an opportunity. Maybe today the Holy Spirit's been speaking and stirring in your life, and you're recognizing that maybe you've been trying to lead your own life through the lens of what will make you happy, through the lens of what you think is best, and you need to surrender that right now and put your trust in God and say, God, I want relationship with you. And I do want you to order the steps and the days of my life. And so I want to be in right standing with you. I want to be in right relationship. I want a fresh start. If that's you, I'm going to have you repeat a prayer after me in just a moment. And we'd love to know if you're praying that prayer. We'd love to connect with you more. So you can click that you're raising your hand. You can give us your email and we'll follow up and give you some next steps. Or if you're on Facebook or YouTube, you can email us, amen@theblockchurch.org. We would love to resource you and to just connect with you. Don't do this journey alone. But we're going to pray this prayer, and then we'd love to celebrate this with you. If you, wherever you are, if you'll just close your eyes, even if you're watching on your phone or you're in your home, just close your eyes, a personal moment between you and the Lord right now. And if you need to be in right relationship with God, first time accepting his love, forgiveness for your life, or if you need to recommit, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Dear Jesus, I surrender my life into your capable hands. I choose to trust that you ultimately know what's best and that you ultimately define what is good. And so, Lord, as I surrender, I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for your mercy over my life. Cleanse me of all of my sin and all of my pride, and accept me as your son and daughter. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, be sure to check out our podcast channel and subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you like what you're hearing, we'd love for you to rate, review, and share with your friends. We love you, and thanks again for listening.